السلام عليكم. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, that our intentions be pure and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to make the time we spend here a time of benefit, and a time of nourishment, and a time of light, and a time of blessing, and a time of joining, and not a time of separating. And make it a time of contemplation, and a time of love and unity, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this humanity in that when He created us, He didn't leave us without guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent always to every people messengers. And as the time of the human condition is coming to an end and winding down, He sent a final messenger to unite people and to bring the tribes and the people together, to unite the languages, and to unite the guidance. And that's the deen of Islam. And never in any time historically have people been in more need of this deen because of all the trouble and all the fitna and all the tribulations that you see everywhere around you, whether it be amongst the Muslims or be amongst the non-Muslims. We have tribulation from every corner. And in times of tribulation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tests people to see which of you are the best in actions. And the word in Arabic, fitna, and we're in an age of fitna, the original meaning of it is to test the gold, to make sure that there are no impurities in the gold. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with people. He tests them to see who are the people of worth and who are the people who lack worth. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth, and against it is paradise. And Allah would not purchase anything that wasn't of worth. And this is why He only purchased the lives of the believers, because their lives are of worth. And the Prophet ﷺ said, النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. Human beings are like mines. النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. In other words, there are people of gold, and people of silver, and people of copper, and there are people of lead. And there are people that are toxic. And you have toxic metals. There's mercury. Will actually kill people. So, النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. And خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعُكُمْ لِعِيَادِ اللَّهِ. The best of you are the most beneficial. So the best of metals are the most beneficial metals. And that's where they get their work. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه relayed, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. The strong movement is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak movement. وَفِي كُلِّ الْخَيْرِ. And in both of them is good. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, احرص على ما ينفعك. Be covetous and be vigilant about what's beneficial to you. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجِلْ. And seek your help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't incapacitate yourself by not taking the proper means. In other words, we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we take the means that Allah has given us in the world. استعين بالله ولا تعجز. Don't be incapacitated by not taking the means that Allah has provided for you. And then he said, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكُمْ شَيْءٍ. And if anything afflicts you from the afflictions of this world, فلا تقول لو أني فعلت كان كذا وكذا. Would that I had done such and such, it would have been such and such. فَإِنَّ لَوْ يَفْتَحُ عَمْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Because the word low, it opens up the actions of shaitan. Now the low in the Arabic language, there's many different meanings, but one of them is called harf tamanni. It's the particle of false hope. The tamanni. يتمنى شيء. عن الإنسان ما تمنى. Does man just get what he wishes for? His vain wishes. And lo, in the past tense, he is empty. Lo kuntu malikan, if I was a king. One of them said, later, وَهَلْ يَنْفَعُ لَيْتَ. You say later, oh, would that, but does later ever help? Later, شَبَابَ بُعَفَ اشْتَرَيْتُ. Would that youth could be sold, I would have bought it. You know, there's no benefit in later. So, my advice to myself and to my brothers and sisters is that you come here for a reason. And the reason is to learn and increase in knowledge. And so, don't, after a month, be in a position where you say, لو فعلت, لو أني فعلت, لو أني استغنيت وقتي, would that I have used my time, would that I would have talked less, would that I would have argued less, would that I would have paid more attention, would that, because لو يفتح عمل الشيطان. This is what shaitan does. This is the game of shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that's related in Dharami, التَشْوِيْهُ شِعَارُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُلْقِهِ بِقَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Procrastination is the slogan of shaitan. It's the symbol of shaitan that he thrusts into the heart of the believer. You see, procrastination, putting off. You know, I'll get to that later, I'll do that later, I'll do that some other time. So, life is dissipating, life is moving away. You know, when I brought Mauritanian's daughter came to the United States recently, and he'd only been once out of the desert to go to Mecca, and the first time he'd ever been on one of these floor escalators, not the stairs, but just the floor escalators. They move along in the airport, right? Everybody knows them. And we were sitting on there with a bag, right? Just sitting there, and he was looking at it, he just says, how? Looking at this thing, and we were standing still, but we're moving. And he said, this is just like life. You think you're standing still, but your ajal is getting nearer and nearer. You see? And that's how the man of Allah sees things. You see? First time he's on there, and he got the point. He took the ibrah, he took the metaphor. Right? He said, this is it. We're just getting nearer to the ajal, and we all think we're standing still. Time is moving on, right? Time is moving, and we're moving through our lives. Each one of us, some people here last year, were a year older than we were the year before. Really? We're moving towards our ajal. The ajal is coming, la mahala. And so then what do? We benefit from the time. احرص على ما ينفعك. Benefit from what? God, what benefits you? Don't waste your time. Don't be like the people of low and later. أصبحت كنتية أصبحت عاجنا وأصبحت كنتية وشر خصال المرء كنت وعاجني. I've become a kuntu. You know, the Arabs, they call a kunti. It's somebody who say, I used to, I used to. And عاجن is somebody who say, you know, this is what, in my youth and things. And the old man, he says, I've become a kunti. And I've become an agent. And he said, and these are the worst qualities of a person. The one who just talks about what they did in the past. You see. Because every morning, according to Hassan al-Basri, he said, every morning there's a shout. Ya ibn Adam, in hadha yawmun jadeed. This is a new day. Wa ala amrika shaheed. And it's a witness over your actions. This is a new day. Hassan al-Basri said, Ya ibn Adam, innukum ayyamun. You're just days. Kullu ma zahaba yawmun, zahaba ba'duka. Every time a day has gone, a portion of your life is gone. You're just days. That's all we are. And he said, Wallahi adraktu qawman kanu ashadda hirsan ala awqatihim. مِمَّا أَنْتُمْ عَلَى دَرَاهِمِكُمْ وَدَنَانِيرِكُمْ. I met a people, and he met the Sahaba, رَضُوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. They were more vigilant about their time and how they spent their time than they were about your vigilance over the dinar and dirham. The Sahaba were people who knew the qima, the value of time, which is invaluable. They understood what time was. And they understood. Imam al-Ghazali, radiallahu anhu, said, Ta'alamtu amrayn min al-Sufiyya. I learned two things from the people of Tasawwuf. The first one, إِذَا لَمْ تَشْغَلْ يَدَيْكَ فِي الْخَيْرِ شَغَلَتَ شَغَلَتَكَ بِالشَّرِّ. If you don't occupy your two hands in good, they occupy you in evil. And the second thing, الْوَقْتُ تَيْكَ إِذَا لَمْ تَقْطَعْ بِهِ قَطَعَ. Time is a sword. If you don't cut with it, it will cut you down. Time is a sword. If you don't cut with it, it will cut you down. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَرَى النَّاسَ بَهْلَلًا. I hate to see people wasting time. إِمَّا فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ وَإِمَّا فِي أُخْرَاهُمْ. Either in their dunya, benefiting from dunya, or in their akhirah, benefiting from their akhirah. But not just like these people now, who waste their lives in front of television sets, watching other people's dunya. Really, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu said, he was asked, من شر الناس؟ قال من أذهب آخرتهم لدنياهم. Those who lose their akhirah because of their dunya. And he said, is there anyone less than that? وهل هناك أسفر منهم؟ قال نعم. الذين أذهبوا أخراهم لدنيا غيرهم. Those who lose their akhirah because of other people's dunya. So, we came here for a purpose and a reason. And the purpose, inshallah, is to increase, not to decrease. Because human being is either increase or decrease. We're decreasing in the sensory, by the nature. You see, once you reach your peak of maturity, you begin to decline in the sensory. Until the eyesight goes, the hearing goes, the taste buds go. If Allah gives you life, the muscles go. By nature of dunya, you're decreasing in the sensory. But, by the gift of Allah, you can always increase in meaning. This is the gift of Allah to Bani Adam, that you can increase in meaning. You can increase in iman. You can increase in amal al-salihah. Until the last ramah, you know, until the last breath, you can be making tawbah. Because the door of tawbah is open, ma lam yugharghir. As long as you haven't, the ruh hasn't gotten to the throat about to leave. So there's always room for increase for akhirah. But dunya is decreasing by its nature. It's decreasing. Dunya is on the decrease. And those who invest in dunya are fools. Because the capital of dunya is time. That's the capital of dunya. And the investment of the time in dunya, if you make it for dunya, you've lost already. Because each minute that goes, you can't get it back. It's gone. Each day that goes, you can't get it back. So, the one who's intelligent is the one who invests the time of this world for the next world. And the fool is the one who invests his time in the dunya for the dunya itself. And that's the one who's in love. وَالْعَاصِرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذِخُصْ. By time, man is in loss. Because the nature of time, you're losing. We're losing, it's going away. It's like you have money, and you're giving it out like this. Right? And it's limited. You have $100 or £100, and it's limited. Each one you give away, you're one less. 99, 98, 97, 10, 9, 8, until it's all gone. By time, man is in loss, because time, we're losing it. It's going away. We're all getting older, we're all moving towards our death. So we are in loss. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنْسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. إِلَّا. Except one group of people only. Everybody else is losing their time. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who invest their time in akhirah. They don't lose. Because they will reap the benefit of their investment in the next world. Whereas the people of dunya, they're in loss. in this world and in the next world.
وَذَٰلِكَ الْخُسْرَانِ الْمُبِينِ.
The akhirah is the real loss, not dunya. You lose $100 in dunya, it's not a problem. But you lose your akhirah, this is trouble. So we came here to Venice, not to waste time. If you look at the Muslims now, where people engage in empty pursuits. The ummah is engaged in empty pursuits. They're engaged in fighting about ridiculous things. Really, ridiculous things. Where the rope should be. Whether you should move your finger. Whether you should use a subha. Whether, this is all signs. One, of stupidity. Seriously, one of stupidity. And two, of a'udhu billah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes his own away from them. Because Allah says, the hadith says, مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقْهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The one Allah wants good for, He gives him understanding in the deen. So if you are gaining understanding in deen, then you know that Allah wants good for you. This is what Imam al-Qarafi said. If you're not gaining understanding in dunya, then it means that Allah didn't want good for you. And understanding in the deen, the more you learn, one, the more tolerant you get. This is the nature of knowledge. The more you learn, the more tolerant you get of other people. Imam al-Ma'ziri, one of our greatest imams, he has a commentary on Sahih Muslim. They said his knowledge was so vast that he rarely found a munkar. Because he would always find some excuse from one of the opinions of the imam. That's how vast his knowledge was. He said, oh, he must be acting according to the opinion of so-and-so. It's a big difference. And one of my teachers, Sheikh Rabin Sadiq, said, he said, from the most ignorant of people are those who learn one small portion of knowledge and then try to apply it on everybody else. Those are the most ignorant of people. They من تعلم بابا من العلم ثم حمله على الناس. They learn one small portion and then they try to apply it on everybody. So this is the state. Now, if you look at our crises, fundamentally, there's only two crises in the Muslim Ummah. You can reduce it down to two things, I guarantee you. Two very simple things. One, love of dunya, comfort of dunya. And that's in the hadith. It's not we don't have technology, we're backwards, the kuffar are superior to us, this is why they conquered us. If we get all our children to become engineers, we can learn the technology, and then we'll defeat everybody. This is kind of the modernist idea. It's a complete lie, because the hadith says in the end of time, when the Prophet said that all of the ummah will come and eat from us. Right? That's what he said. They'll eat from us like people eat from a plate of food. Which is what they're doing now, eating our salawat. The wealth of the Muslim Ummah is being consumed. They call it consumption here, مستهلكون. They're consuming it in the West. That's what they're doing. And when they ask, من الأمم? اليهود والنصارى, Jews and Christians, yet for men, who else but the Europeans and the Jews? Who else? Right? The Americans, all these, they're just eating from the wealth of the Muslims. Why? Because the Prophet said, because you won't have technology, they'll have technology. Because you didn't have enough engineers, you had too many fuqaha, right? Because you were too concerned about your wudu and your prayer. And really, there's nothing that. He said, حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَهِيَةَ الْمَوْتِ. Love of dunya and hating death. Despising death. That's the disease. That's fundamental disease. What is the source of that disease? Where does that come from? You see, that is the symptom that the Prophet is telling us. Right? That's the symptom. But what's the root cause? Ignorance. It's ignorance. That's all it is. It's ignorance. And this is why this cure is not information, but knowledge. It's not information. It's not information. Muslims have never been people of information. People of knowledge. And knowledge is something not that you know a lot of things or that you memorize a lot of things. Knowledge, according to our tradition, is al-ilm al-ladhi yubashir al-qalb, that which is intimate with the heart. In other words, it impacts the soul. So that the person is pride and to become a human being, become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to be here for 1 month, inshallah. And people have come from different places, and probably with different intentions. Some people want to learn Arabic, some people want to learn Hebrew, some people want Hindi, some people want to learn a whole bunch of different things. Some people want to increase in their iman. There's different reasons why people come. But we should make one intention, which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we should come together, for the sake of Allah. مَجْتَمْعَ قَوْمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ إِلَّا تَفَرَّقُوا عَلَى بُغْضٍ أو عَلَى عَدَاوَةٍ. No people ever come together for something of disobedience except that they separate, hating each other. Right? People, they get together for disobedience like criminals. You know, they get together as a gang, and they're all friends, and, you know, but then after a time, they begin to hate each other. Because that's the nature. When you come together for ta'a, you should be loving each other. So hopefully at the end of the month, you know, the brotherhood is stronger, it's more firm. People leave with love and good in their hearts for their brothers and their sisters. And then my advice really is to utilize the time. Right? الوقت خمسة مع عنيد بحفظه وأراه وأراه أسهل ما عليك يضيعه. Time is the most precious thing that you've been concerned about guarding, and I see that it's the easiest thing that you can lose. So time, utilizing our time. This should be a time of study. You know, if you want to talk, you can talk anywhere. You don't have to come here to talk. You know, I mean, it's not saying everybody walk around like silent traffic monks or something like that. But the point is not to, you know, not to end up just having conversations all the time and doing, right? The time is to learn. That's what we're very good Muslims at, having conversations. Really, we're good at analysis, we're good at criticism, we're good at all these different things, but learning to utilize our time, learning knowledge, applying the knowledge, and then transmitting the knowledge. Because before we'll get anywhere in this ummah, before we get anywhere, we have to have critical mass of educating Muslims. The Prophet reached critical mass with his Sahaba. He reached critical mass. They were oppressed people, but at a certain point they reached critical mass, and then nothing could stop them. And they set out, they conquered the known world. Nothing could stop them. Why? Because they were illuminated people. They were awakened to the truth. They didn't love them yet. When Muawiyah heard about one of the armies that entered into Persia, that the cow, actually, they heard the cow from the forest calling them when the Pharisee man said to them that he didn't have any cows to sell them. And one of the cows that he had hidden in this bush, kharas, they said, fakara kharas, and he said, kadaba adu Allah, ha nahnu, this enemy of Allah has lied, and here we are. Muawiyah, he found that it was strange. He wanted to see evidence. So he had somebody come, he wanted somebody who was there who heard it. They brought this man, and they asked him, did you really hear this? He said, well, why did you hear it? We heard the cow say that. And he said, how do you explain that? He said, I don't know, except one thing. I don't think anybody in that army has ever been in that army. And that's how this is more common to the world. Not the love of dunya, the love of akhirah. That's why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he sent the messenger to Persia, he said to him, if you don't commit to this truth, I'll send you an army. Death is as beloved to them as life is to you. Everybody said, أَمَوْتُ وَحَبُّ إِلَيْكُمْ. They love death more than you love life. حَبُّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ. Alhamdulillah. So inshallah we become people of akhirah, not people of dunya. And people of reflection, not people of stupidity. There's enough stupid people in the world. There's too many now. We need to get some intelligence back into the room. It's not arrogance, and it's just common sense. Look at what we're doing to each other. Look how we behave towards each other. Look at our priorities and where they are. You know, it's the type of, and there's a tradition, the Muslim tradition of Isa alayhi salam. He said in the end of time, he said that the ahmaq al-nas, you know, some of the stupidest people would be from the Prophet Muhammad's ummah, and he said, but they'd be forgiven. And they said, what's their stupidity? And he said they would curse animals. They would do things like curse animals. And then they said, and why are they forgiven? He said, because they won't sit down to a meal except that they say Bismillah. And they won't get up from the meal except that they say Alhamdulillah. Which means they'll be like the last people that remember Allah. Because basically, the easiest thing to be grateful for is food. That's the one ni'mah that most of us, you know, it's something it's easy to see and remember. But cursing animals to me is like getting the cause and effect, it's missing the point. It's from ourselves, but it's also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by haqiqah, we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of tribulation and imtihan. But by sharia and ta'adduban ma'allah, we have only ourselves to blame. من وجد خيرا فليحمد الله. Whoever sees good, let him praise Allah. ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. And whoever sees other than that, let him only blame his soul. So if you find good, say Alhamdulillah. If you find other than good, blame yourself. So inshallah during this time, we'll find only good and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you find other than that, then blame yourself. Don't blame Ibrahim. So we came here, inshallah, as brothers and sisters, and we hope inshallah Allah bless us and allow us to be as brothers and sisters. For people who weren't here, there's some people I recognize a lot of faces from last year, but for the people who weren't here last year, you know, the focus here, what we're trying to do basically, is we are trying to get out of the confusion that we found ourselves in as an ummah. Both people who were born Muslim and people that have come into Islam. Because if you were born Muslim, then you find the confusion of your culture, of the mixture of culture and Islam, of the jahiliyyah that entered into the different cultures and traditions, and also of the confusion based on the ignorance of our parents and of our communities and societies about Islam. If you come into Islam, then you come into the confusion of the condition of the Muslim. Right? And this is part of the tribulation of a new Muslim, is trying to work out what is this thing that I've just come into, you know, because I've got this person saying it's this, I have this person saying it's that, that. So what we're trying to do is one simple thing. We're trying to understand Islam as it is understood in its unbroken chain of transmission and teaching from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until the present day. Because we have an unbroken chain. We're not Protestants. We don't say we have to go back to the original sources and dump all of this tradition. Because we're not Christians. Our teaching is not a false teaching. It's a teaching that has an unbroken chain of scholars. The Prophet says, يَحْمِرُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ عَنْ كُلِّ قَرْنٍ عُذِيلُهُ. This knowledge will be carried in each generation by upright and trustworthy people. This is a hadith. The knowledge is carried by each generation. In other words, there is a transmission, it's unbroken. This ummah has never taken its knowledge from books. If knowledge was meant to be taken without a teacher, then there would be no Jibril. Jibril is Al-Damu Shadeed Al-Khuwa. The Prophet ﷺ was taught by someone who is less than the Prophet in stature. You see? And many times the student will end up being greater than the teacher. Many, many times this happened historically. The student will supersede the teacher, outstrip the teacher, and the true teacher would want that, and not feel hasad and feel envy. A true teacher wants to see his students become go beyond what he achieved or she achieved. So the Prophet ﷺ had a teacher, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recite Quran to Ubay ibn Ka'ab. Commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recite Quran to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, to check his recitation. And this is not because the Prophet needs this help. Ta'liman, you know, to teach his ummah that you have to be humble and go to a teacher. And one of the reasons there's so much intellectual and spiritual anarchy in this ummah now is people don't want to take from traditional authority. They want to behave their own way. Right? And the Greek word for heretic, it is in Arabic, but the Greek word, heretikos,
means the one who chooses his own way. That's what a heretic